In everything that you've done, John, in your career, is there a specific message that just shocked the heck out of you?
There's so many, actually. I think I have that experience about once a week.
Do you?
I do, but I have some clips that are known to be to have that special quality to that, you know, kind of shock and disturbing quality, and we'll play one of them now because this will take us to this place. I was talking earlier about the energetic effect of listening to these messages, the physiological response, the hair raising, and the goosebumps that can happen. So I guarantee you, George, tonight when I play this clip, somebody out there is going to have that response, and maybe a whole lot of people are going to respond to this one. I'm talking about Robert Blake, the Robert Blake murder story, where Blake is now on trial in Los Angeles. I don't know the current state of that trial.
Well, it's still in limbo, but it's progressing.
Mm-hmm. And Blake and his attorneys had released his wife's telephone tapes to the press shortly after her death. Bonnie Lee Bakley, who was shot in the head outside of a restaurant in Los Angeles, used to tape her telephone calls. And I have one of those tapes. I studied the tapes that were sent to the press, and I found some very revealing information. Should we play one of those now?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, so Bonnie Lee Bakley, this is her talking on the telephone. It's a fairly innocuous call, talking to a friend.
But the only thing is, see, I'm only going to be here until, like, February, and then I'm leaving, you know, so I hope it's
off. I think you'll come before that.
You better, yeah.
Yeah.
And when I play that recording backwards, I can hear Bonnie Lee say the words, "I know he'll murder me."
I know you'll murder me.
That was a weird one.
So that's, you know, we're starting to get into goosebump territory with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was a weird. Okay, what creates the backward message? Why do they do it?
Well, again, it's consciousness, really. Consciousness expressing that there's a cipher on these messages. It seems unusual, but it's a construct within consciousness. Consciousness is expressing from within us, and if the development of the individual, I guess we could say, you know, to be blunt, if the development of the individual is not great enough to accept what's coming out from within them, then the ego shields itself, and we do things blindly. As the personality expands and grows and can incorporate more of what's within us, then perhaps these phenomena change, you know, and perhaps we're able to be more direct. This is an indirect form of communication. I guess the goal would be to achieve a high enough level of integration where everything could just flow through us perfectly. But we're all here and we're working out our stuff, so I guess in the meantime, there's things that we don't want to look at. There's things we may not be strong enough to look at, but they will disclose through the backwards messages.
Are there subliminal messages, like maybe more in songs that are beyond the I Buried Paul, that are ongoing all the time? Have you been able to look at that?
A little bit. Mostly I'm looking at the spoken word. But, yeah, in music sometimes, and one of the stories I'll talk about tonight is involved with music, there are messages. And, again, they're innocent in the sense that they're not contrived. They're a natural phenomenon.
They're not telling the world to go out and kill or anything like that.
Well, they may. But, you know, it's not that this phenomenon itself is inherently evil. It's just communicating information and ideas. People talk like that all the time anyway. So
but can this be used, John, to send a subliminal message to someone else? I mean, if I'm listening to someone, mm-hmm. will my subconscious analyze the backwards message or not?
According to researchers at Caltech, they determined that, in fact, the unconscious listeners can recognize backwards speech through repeated listening. And so they determined that we can hear backwards messages. Our brain is capable of deciphering time-reversed messages. So we can assume, therefore, if we accept that these messages are objective phenomena, they are occurring, transmission is occurring. Caltech research that was published in Nature magazine in the letters section in one, I believe, April 99, their science indicated that the human brain understands backwards speech. So I'd say, yes, there's transmission, there's reception, there's communication, there's sharing of ideas. If we measured our conversation today, George, and studied the transmission and reception of backwards messages between us, we'd find there may be common themes emerging. You and I are starting to talk about a subtext, a second story is emerging, and we're playing ping pong. We're bouncing the ball back and forth to each
mm-hmm.
other. And so, yeah, these phenomena occur between us. They're just natural communications phenomena. It's new insight on what happens when we talk.
It's an amazing, it's almost like an art form, isn't it, in some way?
Yeah, there's an art to speech. There's the art of talk, of course. And
the art of talk.
That's right. So yeah, there's artistic dimensions to it. There's, you know, feeling dimensions to this, and there's science as well. So it's quite holistic. It incorporates many facets of who we are, and that's what makes it fascinating.